Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. KOL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. And of course, we are live from the Auto Farm Studios. Friday edition of the show. We have made it to the end of the week, and we are 2 days away from NBA free agency. Well, I'm really excited about this free agent class. At the same time, when it rolls around, I'm ready for it. You know, I'm ready to go, because there's only so much of this scenario, you know, what if. There's only so much of that you can play before it starts to get a little bit redundant. And I think we're just about to that point. But we are going to give you a primer for what could happen on Sunday. Now, don't forget, the NBA has changed. Remember back in the day at midnight, you would see all the rumblings coming in. I mean, I was glued to Twitter over the last, 2 years. Midnight would hit, and everything would just start coming in because teams could talk to free agents at 12:01. That's not going to be the case this year. I believe it'll be at about 4 o'clock on Sunday. We'll start to see things coming in. And so we will talk a lot of NBA free agency. And hey, why not? Let's start the show by talking about free agency. The Los Angeles Lakers will get a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. This is so much different than everything that has been talked about with this organization. You know the term fake news? Everybody knows the term fake news at this point, right? There was a lot of fake news about this Los Angeles Laker organization. And I think the media painted a terrible picture, and not a lot of it was actually happening behind the scenes. Now, to be fair, Magic Johnson didn't help matters any. The botched trade, the way the Lakers played following the trade deadline last year, that didn't help. I get it. But at the same time, there was all this tension, right? They couldn't find a head coach. Ty Lue didn't want to go there. I mean, there's all these stories. Rob Pelinka, the general manager of the Lakers, he doesn't understand the cap structure. He doesn't understand the way the salary cap works. Well, he was an NBA agent. He knows what he's doing. Lakers have no chance of getting LeBron. That was the story last year. They get LeBron. The Lakers have no chance of getting AD. Trade talks fell apart at the deadline. They found a way to get AD. Yeah, but they don't have another max contract slot. Kawhi's not even interested in joining the Lakers. He doesn't want to play with LeBron. Lakers yesterday make a trade. They get the max contract slot. Now they have a meeting with Kawhi. Something tells me that the Lakers are major players to get Kawhi Leonard. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think there's a good chance. But if it does in fact happen, if Kawhi Leonard ends up going and playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, Kawhi, LeBron, and Anthony Davis would be the greatest big three of this generation, bar none. Not even close. What do you want to throw at me? Boston? Miami? Now, this would be the greatest big three of this generation. And when I say generation, I'm talking like the last 20 years. And I don't even think it's close. And it really doesn't matter who else joins this team. They would win an NBA championship with those three guys. And it would take a lot of intrigue out of the NBA season. Now, with that being said, I think there's a great chance that Kawhi re-ups in Toronto, maybe signs a one-in-one deal. And what I mean by that, 1 year with a player option for year two. What more of a compelling argument do you need if you're the Raptors than, hey, look, we won a championship last year. Let's win a second. You know, Kawhi Leonard has been the man that has slayed super teams. He was the slayer against the Miami Heat in San Antonio, won an MVP. Finals MVP, that is, wins an NBA championship. Did it again this year with Golden State. So I can see the argument of Kawhi Leonard staying put in Toronto. I don't think the Clippers have a chance. I really don't. The only thing, Kawhi is a different guy. I get it. He's a little bit of a different cat. If he wants to play for the second fiddle team in a major market and go to SoCal, okay. doesn't make a lot of sense, though, right? I think it's a two-team race. I think it's the Raptors and the Lakers. I think that's it as far as Kawhi. We'll talk more about Kawhi a little bit later on in the show. Good news if you're a Golden State Warrior fan, and this is really a no-brainer. The Warriors are planning to offer Klay Thompson a max contract, which would be $190 million over 5 years. And kudos to the Golden State Warriors. I don't know that the Warriors are going to be able to re-up Kevin Durant, but by getting Klay Thompson, I mean, this is a huge boost for this team. And again, tip your hat. Stellar move. Lock him up. Regardless if KD is playing next year or not in Golden State, anyone who tells me the Warriors are not a player to get back to the NBA Finals, you're wrong. Because they are. If Klay Thompson comes back at 100% at any point in time of that season, a team with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, very capable of winning the Western Conference Championship. They had a big four. They did some magic with a big three once upon a time. This right here again. But I guess the Klay situation does bring up one question. What does this mean for KD? And look, coming off the injury like KD did, I mean, we're talking about an Achilles tear. We don't know if this guy is even going to be back next season. I was a little bit surprised that he opted out of the contract, but if he can garner a max deal from the Golden State Warriors, I think you have to do it. And so while everyone is talking about this Warrior team being finished, I still think there's a possibility that KD comes back as well. And then the West, which everyone says is wide open right now, it's still wide open because Golden State's proven they are beatable. Right? They played a lot of extra basketball over the last 5 or 6 years. But I don't understand why people are writing this team off. I don't understand that. I mean, you have one of the best young GMs in the game running the show. Golden State, I don't think Golden State's going anywhere. I really don't. So even with free agency, not knowing what's going to happen, I think you have Golden State, you have the Lakers, you have the Jazz. I say go ahead and discredit Houston. Even if they get Jimmy Butler, I think it's going to be a mess. Portland, I'll throw Portland and Denver in there. I think you got 5 or 6 teams in the West that I would view as serious, serious threats. And that's not saying that Houston couldn't upset someone. The West is going to be entertaining regardless of what happens over the next couple of days. So those are the two big storylines coming out of the NBA. And again, today I want to use today as kind of a primer for free agency talk around the NBA. Let's move over to Major League Baseball. We'll take a look at the scores and schedules. Really, no day baseball games, but we do have plenty of action coming up this evening. 5 o'clock hour, Cleveland will travel to take on Baltimore. Toronto will play host to Kansas City. We get Atlanta at the Mets. Mike Soroka has been very, very good for the Atlanta Braves so far this year. The New York Mets, they're going to throw out the DeGrominator, Jacob DeGrom. I like that pitching matchup a lot. Texas at Tampa Bay at 5:10. Lance Lynn will be on the mound in this contest. We get the Nationals on the road to take on Detroit, 5:10 tonight. The Cubs will battle the Cincinnati Reds. That's Cole Hamels versus Sonny Gray. Again, another pitching matchup that I do like. Philly will travel to meet the Marlins at 5:10. 6 o'clock hour, Pittsburgh at Milwaukee. We get Minnesota at the White Sox at 6:10. Seattle will also take on Houston. And then at 6:40 tonight, the Dodgers will battle the Rockies. If you're a Rocky fan, you have to hate the Dodgers right now. Just a week ago, 3 rookies ended games with walk-off home runs. That had never happened in Major League Baseball history. Now the two teams play last night at Coors Field. And again, we have a battle. It's 8-8. Go to the top of the ninth inning. The Dodgers score 4 runs, including a 3-run shot by Kike Hernandez. The Rockies are close, but for whatever reason, they cannot beat the Dodgers. This happened last year in that one-game playoff. We get Oakland at the Angels as well at 8:07 tonight. The Cardinals will battle the Padres. Michael Wacha is on the mound going up against Eric Lauer. And then in the nightcap, Arizona will take on San Francisco at 8:15. That's a look at what's happening in the national sports front. We will give you the rundown of everything happening locally. And I do want to give a shout out to the Price American Legion baseball team. They did participate in the 17 and under league this season. So you have the 19 and under and the 17 and under league. Price wrapped up the season at home last night, completing the year. Tip your hat to those boys. I know they didn't have the best of seasons, but they continue to go out and compete. And again, last night, wrapping up the season at home against Hillcrest, I tip my hat to the Price American Legion baseball team. Every kid should have the opportunity to play baseball in the summer. And also a big shout out to Coach Willie Ellington, who hopefully will get on the show here in the coming days. We will also talk about the Helper American Legion team in just a moment. They will be back home tomorrow. Their final set of games before we go into a moratorium. That's a quick look at what's happening all around. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll be joined by a great friend of mine, Jabari Davis. He's from the Hot Takes and Shot Fakes podcast, which is part of NBA.com and also Hoops Mag. So we'll talk to him about free agency. It's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to this weekend NBA free agency talk when we return here on Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Only 2 weeks remain in the Utah American Legion 19 and under baseball regular season before the divisional tournament will take place on July 18th and 19th. And following this weekend, all teams will head into a one-week moratorium. Now, following a win and a tie Wednesday evening on the road against Timpanogos, the Hopper Merchants hold a two-game lead at the top of the Central Division standings. Seven games remain on the regular season slate for Helper, including a home doubleheader Saturday against Lone Peak. Harriman remains the lone unbeaten team in the Northern Division at a perfect 7-0. Tooele trails by two games in the loss column. Six division games remain on the schedule for Harriman. Helper and Harriman are scheduled to meet in just a couple of weeks. Now, taking a look at the standings in the Central Division, in first place it is Helper at 7-0-1. Salem Hills is in second place at 5-3, followed by a logjam of three teams, Timpanogos, Lone Peak, and Westlake. Springville and Pleasant Grove round out the field of seven. In the Northern Division, it's Harriman in first place at 7-0, Tooele in second at 7-2. Corner Canyon is sitting at 4-4, Taylorsville's in fourth at 3-3, followed by Judge Memorial, Alta, Skyline, and then Highland. Now, Helper will return to the field tomorrow for a doubleheader home contest as they go toe-to-toe with Lone Peak beginning at 6 p.m. The second game will follow at 8 p.m. That will be the final game for Helper before the moratorium. They'll then return to the field on July 10th as they travel to meet Springville. Now, we will stick with the Diamond, but we move over to softball. And the USU Eastern softball team will play host to a camp on August 12th at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Softball Complex. First-year softball manager Shelby Shirtliff will head the camp. The one-day camp will go from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the complex, which is located at 278 South Fairgrounds Road in Price. The cost of the camp is $60, and that includes lunch, a T-shirt, and instructions from USU Eastern coaches and special guest coaches. Those who are interested in attending must register at CastleCountryRadio.com, where a link is provided. Sign the waiver list and pay the $60 entry fee on or before August 12th. You can also check in and register on August 12th. Athletes will be responsible to bring their own equipment and water bottle. Again, you can find out more information at CastleCountryRadio.com. Now we move over to rodeo, and tonight and tomorrow, the Huntington Heritage Days Rodeo will be taking place at the Huntington Fairgrounds. This is a fun event for the entire family. The cost is $8 for adults. Kids ages 13 to 17 will be $5, and 12 and under are free. There will also be a family pass available for five people for $20. Again, it's the Huntington Heritage Days Rodeo tonight and tomorrow, beginning at 8 p.m. both nights at the Huntington Fairgrounds. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com, and it's there you can also listen to previous Drive Time Sports shows on demand. Click on the Drive Time Sports link in the right-hand corner, and you can listen to some of this week's shows that featured guests such as Dan Mears, the mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs, and also college football guru Phil Steele. All that can be found at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll it. Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my. Watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports live from the Auto Forum Studios. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Let's talk NBA basketball. It's a big weekend. And really, I'm stoked for free agency. I've always been stoked for free agency. A little bit of a a downer that it's not happening at midnight. I really looked forward to that every single year, but now we get it a little bit earlier on Sunday afternoon. Joining us right now to talk some free agency, get a primer for the weekend, we have Jabari Davis. He has been a reoccurring guest on this show for about 7 or 8 years, and you can also hear Jabari on Hot Takes and Shot Fakes, Hoop Magazine's podcast on Twitter. We'll talk about that in a little bit more in just a bit. Jabari, first off, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you so much.
Jordan, you know the pleasure's mine. I appreciate the invitation always.
Yeah, I always look forward to it. And like I said, it's a fun weekend in the NBA. Not only are we kind of past the draft now, we know which rookies are going where. We're about to get a couple of trades completed here within the next week, week and a half. But now it's free agency. And really, the NBA has done a good job of making the offseason an entire event, be it summer league, be it the draft, be it free agency. It seems like this league never sleeps. And Jabari, this is one of the more important free agent summers that we have had in quite some time, based on the level of free agents that are out there that could be changing teams.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever seen a summer of this nature. Now, there's going to be people where if folks don't end up moving, that circle back and say, oh, I thought it was supposed to be the greatest summer. Just by the sheer fact that you've got that many big names, and not just big names current, but like all-time great type guys potentially on the move, this is probably the most exciting summer, exciting free agency period that I've had or had to look forward to in quite some time.
Well, let's start small here. And I say small, I mean that in no disrespect towards Kemba Walker, but that's where I want to start because this is a story that is picking up a little bit of steam. It would seem right now that on Sunday we could see Kemba Walker come to an agreement in terms with the Boston Celtics. At least that's the way it's looking. I know the offer from Charlotte comes in, 161, I believe, is what they offered him. They could have offered him 260. A lot of shade being thrown at the Hornets. Look, I don't believe Kemba Walker is a $260 million player. I think he's a good, nice player. But it does seem that Boston is the most likely destination at this point in time, Jabari.
I'm right there with you. I mean, all signs seem to point that in that direction. But part of me still wonders: are the Hornets really going to move on the one guy that I can remember? Obviously, outside of Nicholas Batum taking that gargantuan contract they gave him a few years back, but the one guy that has actively said, "Hey, I would like to stay here. I would like to stick around with this team." Now that could be posturing. That could be negotiating. Who knows? All I know is part of me still thinks that the very last minute you may see Charlotte at the very least inquire about trying to restart those negotiations, and quite frankly it's simply going to be a matter of, are they going to pony up or are they not going to? Are they going to allow him to stay within the conference and go and potentially go and create another powerhouse, or are they going to try to work things out and bring him back into the fold?
Jabari, if you take a look at the way the CBA is constructed right now, and I know that there's a lot of incentives for teams to keep their own players, to keep players in smaller markets. I mean, we went through this just a couple of summers ago with Gordon Hayward. When Gordon Hayward was not selected to an All-NBA team, it really diminished what the Jazz could offer him. And the whole time I'm looking at it saying, you know what, I don't know that I would pay this guy $200-plus million even if I could. I don't know if this is a detriment or if this is actually a positive for this particular franchise. And I kind of feel the same way about Kemba Walker. Now, with that being said, one of the things I do like about Kemba, if you go back over the past 4 years, he has played nearly every single game for the Charlotte Hornets. And the old saying, availability trumps ability, there's a lot to that. But still in the same sense, there are players that just because you can offer them 260 doesn't mean you should offer 260. And for me personally, I have to put Kemba in that category.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I get it. I completely get being able to do it, but you're right. Sometimes you have to protect yourself from yourself. So who knows? Maybe they've done the math on that and determined, you know what, we love him. As you just mentioned, he is a guy that's saying that he wants to stay, but obviously we haven't been able to put a team a winning team around him at a lower rate. So how are we going to be able to do that moving forward? So I would understand if that's the ultimate decision. But it's interesting that you mentioned that, because right there in your backyard, and I'm not throwing shots in any way, but I wonder what the Utah Jazz are going to do when it comes time to pay Rudy Gobert, when now that he's absolutely, if I'm not mistaken, eligible for that supermax contract. I don't think mean, again, certain markets, I don't think you can just let guys get out of the mix. With the heartbreak that you just had, just a couple years back with Gordon Hayward, I'm very much intrigued to see what they do, because obviously after you pay Gobert, which I do think they ultimately will, then you're going to have to start considering the fact that you're already paying Conley, and also you're also going to have to consider the fact that Donovan Mitchell eventually you're going to have to pay him. I like that the NBA is progressive and they look for different ways in order to assist different markets. But to a certain degree, it makes me wonder down the road how effective that's going to be when those small market teams end up supermaxing their own homegrown talent.
Jabari Davis of Hot Takes and Shot Fakes joining us right now. Again, we'll talk more about his show in just a moment. Let's talk about another free agent that I'll go ahead and throw in the same boat as Kemba Walker, and that's D'Angelo Russell. Did have a breakout season. I know there's a lot of rumors circulating that maybe the Lakers would entertain bringing D'Angelo Russell back. It seems like a foregone conclusion that at some point in time, the Brooklyn Nets will renounce his rights, which then would make him an unrestricted free agent and give him the opportunity to sign anywhere. Jazz fans were actually, I think, quite thrilled with the prospect of signing D'Angelo Russell just a few weeks ago before the Mike Conley trade went down. Is it fair to put D'Angelo and Kemba Walker in the same category?
Well, they're the same type of player. I would place Kemba ahead of him. Just from a durability standpoint, as well as I just think he's a slightly better player. Just like, even though the attitude is a certain, the attitude and the fit, from a personality standpoint is a question with Kyrie. I would, as a player, just, brass tacks, when they're all three on the court, I would go Kyrie, then Kemba, then D'Angelo, but they're the same type of player. They're, D'Angelo's a little bit, bigger than both of those guys are, but, you get about the same type of performance. They're scorers, at times can be volume scorers, at times can also be efficient. All of them have the ability to play make if they want to, or if the game plan sees fit to do so. But for the most part, you're getting scoring from them. Neither one of them are great on the defensive end. D'Angelo, I would say D'Angelo and Kyrie are probably a little bit weaker than Kemba, even though he's slightly smaller. I do think they're in that same conversation. I don't necessarily think that would have been a great fit next to Donovan Mitchell, but I do understand if you're Utah, I understand the interest.
Yeah, I'll throw a team out there that probably should consider paying D'Angelo Russell. That would be the Phoenix Suns for me, because really, Jabari, I don't know if you were in the same situation as me, but as I'm sitting watching the NBA draft just, a week and a half ago, however long ago it was, I'm scratching my head asking, what in the hell are the Phoenix Suns doing? I mean, they have to clear some cash, but at the same time, if they wanted to give him a max level, it shouldn't be too difficult to do. Again, 23 years old, has a little bit of playoff experience under his belt. I believe he is a much more mature player now than he was during his stint in Los Angeles. But to me, a team that makes sense, it would have to be the Phoenix Suns. I think they should pay D'Angelo Russell.
So here's my problem with that, and I get it, because from a fit perspective, obviously best friends with Devin Booker, or one of his best friends, whatever that varying level is, I get it. And putting a guy that can make the game a bit easier for Booker beside him would be a good idea. But when I think about the flip side, the other side of the court, the two of them being together and being your backcourt the defensive tandem, that's kind of scary. The reason why I bring that up is because outside of Phoenix, I have a team that I think would be perfect for him. The Indiana Pacers. I don't understand why why this isn't being spoken of more. But if you place D'Angelo Russell next to Victor Oladipo, not only do their games match up a little bit better, I think D'Angelo can not mask but assist Victor in the scoring department, and Victor can hide D'Angelo a bit on the other end of the court. Again, I don't know if that's going to take place. And quite frankly, you're right. I was very confused by what Phoenix was doing, because it absolutely seemed as though they were doing everything in their power to clear the decks. So, he'll probably end up getting quite a sizable offer from them. And ultimately, it's going to be about comfort. If he wants to come back out closer to the West Coast, that would also make sense. If he wants to be, have a buddy of his as a running mate, that would also make sense. But from a purely basketball perspective, I think Indiana makes more sense than Phoenix.
Fair enough. Let's talk about another, I guess we could call him a tier three, tier two, I don't know, free agent. We'll talk about Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks. The sensible thing for Milwaukee would actually be to bring back Chris Middleton, bring back Malcolm Brogdon. That would be the sensible thing. But that's not always the case with free agency. We have seen this many, many of times. If you take a look, if Middleton was to get a full five-year max contract where other teams can only offer him four, it's around that 150 mark is what I believe is what Milwaukee would sign him. If you're the GM of the Milwaukee Bucks right now, do you bring back Chris Middleton 5 years, 150?
Yes, I do. He fell off a little bit, you know, down the stretch or, you know, like in the postseason. But you know what? You're facing a juggernaut. You were facing a team that eventually was going to win the title. So, you know, that tends to happen. But once, you know, I'll be honest with you, once they re-upped with Eric Bledsoe during the season, it kind of led me to believe, okay, well, they wanted to get that out of the way because they knew that they were going to be doing the same, this summer with Chris Middleton and Malcolm Brogdon. Quite frankly, while Eric Bledsoe had a very good regular season and, was a plus defender and you know what you get from him on offense. Of the three guys, he would have been the least like, you know, he would have been the third person that I paid. So the fact that they did that makes me think that they're going to go ahead and take care of business this summer, you know, with and not play any games when it comes to Chris Middleton.
Right. When you talk about falling off down the stretch, but a lot of that we have to remember that with this Milwaukee Buck team, there was nobody on that squad that really, outside of Pau Gasol, who I know did not play in the playoffs, really did not have anybody that had experienced a run that deep before, Jabari.
That's true. And when I say that, it's not intended to be a criticism. You know me, I'm just matter of fact about it.
Yep, absolutely.
And he certainly did.
Yes, he did.
Did the same thing. All of those guys, quite frankly, they were if I'm not mistaken, if not the best, shooting team from deep throughout the regular season, they were definitely up there, and they just completely went cold as a collective. It's unfortunate, it could be a testament to the switchability and interchangeability that Toronto has, with all of those incredibly long wings and athletic wings, or it could have just been simply fact that, as you said, they had never been on that stage or in that quite as bright of a spotlight. And you know what? Sometimes it takes, it does take steps. I can think back to those old OKC teams. Remember how they were, when they had Kevin Durant and obviously, why am I drawing a blank? When they had the all of the young guys, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, and all those guys, you remember, their playoff ascension, it went from, a tough first round out to a tough second round out, and then all of a sudden they were in the finals. So I get it.
Again, we're being joined right now by Jabari Davis. Jabari, we've spent 12 minutes talking about free agency. We have not mentioned any of the big names. Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. I got a break for just a moment. Do you have time for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Perfect. We're going to talk more NBA free agency, get you set for what should be a very busy weekend when we return on Drive Time Sports. Again, we are live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Friday edition of the show, and we are getting set for a very busy weekend of the NBA. Free agency will begin Sunday afternoon, and joining us right now to talk about that, we have Jabari Davis, who's joined us for the last 7-8 years here on the show. He's from the show Hot Takes and Shot Fakes. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Jabari, we did talk about those Tier 2, Tier 3 free agents during the last segment. Now let's talk about the big guns, and we'll start with the biggest name out there, Kawhi Leonard. Hottest name in the NBA right now. And 2 weeks ago, according to many pundits and insiders throughout the country, it was a two-team race. Kawhi, the Raptors, and the Clippers. And all this time, I'm thinking, the Lakers have got to have a shot here because they just acquired Anthony Davis. I never thought for a second that the organization would not be able to unload three contracts and create a max spot. They did that yesterday, and now all of a sudden, the Lakers are in play. So it goes from a two-team race to a three-team race. I'm going to throw this question out there. We'll be blunt about it. Am I nuts for thinking that the Lakers have a legitimate chance to bring together arguably the most dominant big three in the history of the game?
See, here you go, Jordan. I'm old enough to remember a time when the Lakers were bumbling and stumbling themselves into not just mediocrity, into obscurity. And and that's absolutely crazy if you think about where this organization was just 4 or 5 short years ago, even as recently as 3 years ago. From there to now, it's absolutely crazy. I've been told, it's never going to happen. But we've been told that from the start. They were never supposed to get LeBron. They got LeBron. They were, they messed up the AD trade, and now that's completely gone. And New Orleans, there's no way that they want to deal with them. And whatever, Dale Demps, shout out to him. I don't know where he is right now, but he's no longer there. And then that went down. So it might be my gut instinct to say, Kawhi, it doesn't make sense. He doesn't necessarily want to go there. He doesn't want to. And then I stop myself and I think, Why am I taking the word of folks that have been wrong every step of the way? And why am I taking the word of folks that very clearly do not speak for Kawhi? Because no one speaks for Kawhi. So in my estimation, when I'm looking at it just as an honest observer, I say, okay. If I'm Kawhi, yes, I could see the benefits of staying in Toronto. Of course, you just won a title with them. You know, you've got not just the city of Toronto, you've got the country of Canada. You know, they're all behind you, and I get that. I can totally see how that would be an appeal. I can see the appeal of the Clippers, like, oh, you know, want to be a trailblazer, you know, no pun intended, and make your own story. You make your own LA story. I get that. But end of the day, Kawhi is a competitor. Kawhi, like, you know, wants to win. Kawhi, you know, is a competitor at the highest level. I'm not saying that it's a guarantee that he takes the Lakers deal. But when I look at it, and I say, why wouldn't he? You know, this whole straw man conversation about he's going to go there and be the third fiddle. Let's stop this right now. That's not the reality. We just watched that man on what seemed to be a one and a half healthy legs limp his way to his second Finals MVP. If you put Kawhi, and this might sound like blasphemy to some folks, if you put Kawhi on this team, he's the best player. LeBron James is a star. I get it. Anthony Davis is absolutely incredible. Kawhi Leonard is also absolutely incredible, and he's the best player of the three.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. In fact, when I look at the landscape, first off, he's the best player in the NBA right now to me. I said that going into the playoffs. I'm sticking by that. To me, he is the best player in the NBA. You put him on any team, he becomes the best player. Okay, now I'm taking a look at the options. And we look at the Clippers, we look at the Raptors, we look at the Lakers. You can make a strong case for him staying in Toronto. I love the fact that Toronto did trade a guy in DeMar DeRozan, a guy that was open, saying he wanted to stay in Toronto. And I'm a big fan of DeMar DeRozan. We're talking about a guy that went to USC. He's got SoCal ties. I'm a big fan of DeMar DeRozan. You trade DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard. This organization took the ultimate risk last offseason, and it paid off. You can make a very compelling case for him to stay in Toronto. He's got an entire country behind him. You just made your case to go to L.A. I believe he would become the best player. And I'll tell you what, the tandem, and let's take LeBron out of the picture, the tandem of Kawhi and AD is terrifying for the next 5 to 6, 7 seasons. I mean, that should just terrify everyone in the Western Conference, because I don't know how you would beat that tandem moving forward. I don't know how you would beat them, especially if you have LeBron. I don't care if LeBron's aged or not, okay? So you can make that compelling case with the Lakers. You cannot bring me a compelling case for this guy to sign with the Clippers. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. Maybe that's what Kawhi wants. Maybe he wants to go to a team with an owner like Steve Ballmer. Maybe he wants to play on a team in a major market that is second fiddle, and that's what the Clippers are. They are second fiddle. So, but in my mind, you would be insane to turn down an offer from the Raptors based on everything that you just accomplished, based on the fact that you have an entire country behind you, and an offer from the Los Angeles Lakers to play alongside Anthony Davis. You know you're going to play alongside a superstar for years to come, to go to the Clippers. Jabari, to me, it's between the Lakers and Raptors in my mind.
I honestly, and we'll be accused of just being haters or anything like that. No. If Kawhi ultimately, like you said, if he ultimately wants that and wants to go to the Clippers, I would respect it. I would say, hey, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it works out for him. That would be my approach to it. But I'm with you. To me, what makes the most sense is if you're not staying in Toronto, which also would make a great deal of sense for all of the reasons that both of us have broken down. To me, the only other team is the Lakers. So if it winds up being a two-team race or a three-team race, either way, if I'm a Lakers fan, I feel at least positively about it, because look. If you're in the conversation, you're in the conversation. And as much as everyone on Twitter and on social media and sports radio wants to poo-poo that situation, sitting across the table from Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and a pile of cash, it has to be appealing. I'm sorry. It just does.
Absolutely. And if you take a look at Adrian Wojnarowski, who does a terrific job, I'm not throwing shade at Woj here at all, but have you seen the way the narrative has changed around this idea of Kawhi going to L.A.?
That's the reason why I kind of led in earlier with, hey, I'm old enough to remember a time when they weren't supposed to get anything. And again, I know that probably upsets non-Lakers fans, because there's a certain level of, man, they fell down to win, to fall up. You know what I mean? Like, they stumbled their way. in certain ways they have. But honestly, let's actually not dissect, but let's pump the brakes on some of that narrative. They've done a lot of things right. They've done a lot of things wrong. It just so happened that it has worked out so far. So if I'm a Lakers fan, I feel pretty good about my chances.
There is a report coming out that Dennis Robertson, who was the uncle of Kawhi Leonard, kind of facilitated and engineered his trade request last offseason from San Antonio to the Lakers, would be in attendance for that Laker meeting. How important is that, Jabari?
His place in that meeting, or just the fact that they previously had wanted to go there?
Just the fact that he's there for that meeting. His place in that meeting, he's going to be there with Kawhi. I mean, he made it abundantly clear last offseason that's where Kawhi wanted to go, and we know how much pull Dennis Robertson has with Kawhi. How important is that he would be in attendance?
I think any time you're dealing with Kawhi, you know, he's an important figure. You know, regardless of whether people want to just call him Uncle Dennis or his advisor or, you know, someone that assists him with making, you know, important career decisions, he's got that role. So, it would behoove of anybody pitching to make certain that he feels as though he's being heard.
Jabari Davis, again, our guest right now as we talk NBA free agency. Jabari, let's move on. We'll talk Kyrie and KD. It seems like these two names have been connected throughout the last couple of weeks anytime we talk free agency. Have you heard anything that would lead us to believe that that's not going to be the case, that Kyrie and KD will not be playing alongside one another next season?
I haven't heard anything, you know, anything lately. The last thing I heard was it still made a lot of sense for Kyrie to go to Brooklyn. I heard, you know, after that, could they find a way to swing, you know, KD's, you know, opinion or whatever the case may be. Part of me still feels like they're still going to end up both in New York, but just split and not playing together. But it would not shock me if they ultimately came together and decided it determined one borough over the other.
Can I ask you, this is really bizarre, okay, as far as KD goes, and I haven't seen anyone talk about this one iota. Is it at least a little weird to you that Oklahoma City has not tried to get in this race for Kevin Durant? Is that at all weird to you? Because, you know, I understand things were soured, but look, LeBron made his return to Cleveland, everything was forgiven and forgotten, and maybe that's why I'm having this thought. But at some point in time, wouldn't it have made sense for OKC to try to facilitate this in some sense?
Well, the question that I have is how.
And
I'm not
sure.
I'm not being facetious with that.
Sure.
Not being you know just flipping. But you know, how would they do it? Because we saw they were trying to move Steven Adams out of there in order to get under the cap. So they didn't pay the luxury tax. So if that's the case, that makes me think. You know, is winning ultimately the most important thing? I'm with you in terms of it would be wise for them to try to do that, but it's from all accounts, especially with, you know, back-to-back first-round exits, it seems as though they're trying to go the other way, which, quite frankly, I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know if I'm Paul George, how I feel about that.
Right, they have some contracts that would have been very, very difficult to move. I mean, obviously, Steven Adams is going to make, I believe, 25.8, if I'm not mistaken, is the number for next season. Dennis Schroeder, he's looking at 15.5. Andre Robertson's over 10. Jeremy Grant's making 9. Patrick Patterson's around 5. I mean, it would have taken some doing, but we haven't even heard a sniffle of OKC even entertaining the idea of bringing back Kevin Durant. I mean, to me, it just seemed a little bit odd that, again, you mentioned trying to move out from Steven Adams, but there was no report of OKC trying to make a massive move this offseason. To me, it would have made sense in some capacity.
Oh, no, you're 100% right. It would make sense, and it would be the smart thing to do if I were OKC, because, quite frankly, the combination of the situation they have right now, that's not going anywhere in the West, even with it being a wide open West, easy for me to say. If I were them, I'd be circling the wagons and looking for any and every opportunity to improve the talent here, and specifically try to mend that fence. Because, quite frankly, as much as they may be disappointed, or they may, you know, like there may be a certain percentage of the fan base that still holds a certain resentment for him. If you got Kevin Durant to walk back in that door, he would instantly be the darling again. Well, and in me saying that, maybe that's one of the reasons why they're not, because you still have to deal with Russell Westbrook, who is quite frankly very comfortable in that spotlight.
Right, and again, there's no rumblings of that. I thought it was a little bit odd. I expected it in some capacity, but we have got nothing of it. Okay. We have Klay Thompson. It's a foregone conclusion. He's going to go back to Golden State. They're preparing to offer him a max right now at $190 million. We have one more free agent I want to talk about, Jimmy Butler. This one is very odd, and really when I'm looking at some of these upper-tier free agents, I know we talked about L.A., if the Lakers whiff on Kawhi, to me, the idea of Jimmy Butler, who is a lockdown defender on the perimeter playing alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis, it just makes too much sense. There was a report a while back that said if the Lakers were to offer Jimmy Butler a max contract, he would consider it. Is that still in play at all, or does it look as if Butler's going to end up going with a sign-and-trade, moving over to Houston, which is another report?
The Houston signing trade, I'm going to tell you right now, while I think it would be a very bad decision, I want it to happen just because I'm here for the carnage. You know me. I enjoy the petty. I enjoy the carnage. I enjoy the melee. I enjoy all of it. So if they end up doing that and putting Matt Powderkeg in the middle of that room, please do it. But to your point, I've been on record of saying Kawhi is the only guy that, if I were the Lakers, speaking from their perspective, that I would offer a max contract to. That comes with the caveat. I also understand if they would do it, do something close to it with Jimmy, specifically because I agree, the perfect fit. You need to have a big wing. You need to have another guy that can score the rock, and you need to have a guy that you can honestly protect LeBron on the defensive end. So I get that. If they went that route, I wouldn't be upset with them in terms of being someone that cares about the Lakers well being, but. Part of me just feels like he's either going to get put into the deal to go to Houston or somehow some way go back to Philly.
Jabari, before we go into the details of your show, let's play prediction here. Let's play future predictor here. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's start at the top. We'll both give our predictions. Kawhi Leonard, where does he sign?
Head versus heart. Head says Toronto because I could see it. Heart says I still think the Lakers are in that conversation.
I'm going to say LA. I'm going to say the Lakers. I think he goes to the Lakers. I will admit I am wrong if he ends up signing with the Clippers. I do not believe that the Clippers are front runners at all. I believe it's LA or Toronto. When I say LA, the Lakers. So I'm going to go with the Lakers. I think Toronto would be second. I just don't know how you turn down playing with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I'm going to say Kawhi goes to the Lakers. Kevin Durant, where does he go?
Knicks.
I'm torn on this one because I think Golden State still has an outside chance here. And the reason I say that is because coming off an Achilles tear, if you're going to get a guaranteed full 5-year contract, if Golden State was to offer that, is that enticing enough to keep Kevin Durant in Golden State?
Me personally, there's no way in the world if my Achilles were torn, there's no chance I'm taking the most money that I can possibly get in order to secure the bag. But I'm not Kevin Durant. I'm not sitting on hundreds of millions, and I'm also not one of the all-time greats to ever play this game. So he may have a different opinion than most of us would have. He may say I'm still betting on myself, and I'm fine. I'm going to recoup that money on the back end to one way or another. Or maybe he is like us, and he says, hey, you know what? You just never know. Let me go ahead and take that money.
I'm going to go Brooklyn. I'm going to say KD goes Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving, where does he sign?
Kyrie Brooklyn. So I guess they will end up together.
Yeah. I'm going to say both of them end up in Brooklyn. I really think the Nets knock it out of the park this offseason. They get Kyrie and KD. Kemba Walker, I think we both agree Kemba's going to Boston.
Probably so.
Yeah, Klay, I don't even think we need to talk about it. Klay Thompson's going to end up in Golden State. Jimmy Butler, where does he go?
Oh, man. Unless somebody throws a curveball for whatever reason, I think he stays with the Sixers. I think they feel the pressure, and they recognize we can re-up with him, and if we need to move him at the deadline, they can actually recoup a package for him. So I think they ultimately decide, okay, go fine, we'll go ahead and we'll pay you.
I believe he stays in Philly as well. And last, D'Angelo Russell, where does he end up?
Again, head versus heart. Head says Indy. Heart probably says he's probably going to go with a familiar and friendly face in Phoenix.
I'm going to say Phoenix. Jabari Davis, great friend of mine, great friend of the show. Jabari, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work because you guys have a very, very entertaining podcast that I enjoy on a regular basis.
I truly appreciate it. I got to do this beforehand. Jordan, it's always a pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to, to talk hoops with you. I'm not just saying this because you're my friend and because we've known each other 7 years. You're the best at this that I interact with on such a regular basis.
Well, thank you. I really, really appreciate the compliment.
But your drive time listeners, they know. Anyhow, find me on Twitter, Jabari Davis NBA. As Jordan mentioned, Hot Takes and Shot Fakes podcast. It's for Hoop Mag and NBA.com. You can find that actually on both of those sites. And if you like this, find me on Twitter. I'm not half bad.
Jabari, always a pleasure. We'll do it again soon. Thank you again for the time.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
We got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports.